Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Always excited to have Major Billy Downer from DNR with us here on Sports Talk, another edition of SC Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk. Our phone number, if you'd like to connect with Major Downer, you have a comment, a question, an observation, a complaint about something related to the great outdoors, maybe you want to share. I can't imagine anybody complaining about a DNR agent. Or maybe you want to share a story about some hunting and fishing or whatever. Maybe you want to share a great fishing spot with us, ice fishing even. 888-898-2525, 888-898-2525. Major, how are you?
Doing good. We're just trying to work through the challenges of COVID continually here. And as waterfowl season wraps up, kind of the slower month comes into February. It kind of tends to be a slow month. We still have some small game seasons in effect, as we've talked about in the previous shows, but certainly things slow down a little bit, preparing for the spring and boating season to kick back in.
Well, we finally got a true dose of really cold weather. I mean, this morning, I think there was some frost out there. I saw frozen water in my backyard. So, I mean, how does that change things for folks in the outdoors?
Well, you know, right now, waterfowl season ended. So cold weather is typically a good thing for waterfowl hunters. We do have, want to remind folks, this weekend, the next two Saturdays, this Saturday, February 6th, and the following Saturday, February 13th, are our federal youth days, which means only hunters 17 years of age or younger may hunt on these days, but they must be accompanied by a person at least 18 years of age. Youth who are 16 and 17 years of age who hunt on these days must possess a migratory bird permit and a valid federal waterfowl stamp. Daily in possession bag limits are the same as for the regular season. This year also, a little difference, February 6th and 13th are also veteran active duty military days. So veterans and active duty military can hunt on the 6th and 13th. This coming Saturday and next Saturday, just like youth can, for waterfowl. They must be fully licensed and possess all the stamps, appropriate stamps, federal waterfowl stamp, migratory bird permit, full South Carolina license, everything. But veterans, that means veterans from whatever branch of service, and active duty military may hunt on these days. Daily and possession bag limits are the same, again, for the regular season. It does say, as it was in the regular season for Federal Youth Day and the Veteran Active Duty Day. This is the first year we've ever done a Veteran Active Duty Day. This was offered, I think, by the feds as an option, and we took it. So a lot of folks aren't aware of this special hunt day. It is in our rules and regs under the migratory bird laws, but a lot of folks, again, just did not probably see it or pay attention to it. So, again, this Saturday, the 6th, and the following Saturday, the 13th, are youth days for 17 and under, as well as veterans and active duty military members.
That sounds great. What kind of participation are you guys expecting?
Well, the youth days, we usually have pretty good participation. We've got several private groups out there, Pintail Partners in the Rimini area that does youth hunts. A lot of these, your bigger duck ponds, some of your bigger clubs have youth days, and they promote it in the local community. So it's mostly community-wide, not like a big place you can go on a list and find somewhere you could go. Of course, public waters open as always for duck hunting as well. So a lot of opportunity out there. If you got a friend that has a duck pond, that's the best way to get into a nice little duck hunt for young people. The youth days, a lot of these duck ponds open up for youth to hunt on those days. So if you got a friend that is in one of these duck clubs, they'll probably let you take a child, a young person, on the youth day. So talk to them. Good opportunities there. We always talked about the weekly harvest, and I kind of want to mention that because folks want to know how the duck season end up. Well, the last week that we recorded the take, the Cape ended up being the first place position with the total harvest of 58 birds. average of 3.9 ducks per man. Here's that 0.9 duck again. He's not quite a full duck, but 3.9 ducks per man. Top duck was blue-winged teal, green-winged teal being in second, and then very distant third was gadwall. You know, we saw teal and gadwall being the top birds in the bag there all year. Second place was, area was also at the gun club, old gun club there, was Murphy Island. Murphy Island had an average of 3.7 ducks per man. Top duck in the bag there was green-winged teal, with blue-winged teal in second, Shelders in second, and blue-winged teal were right there in third, pretty much almost second, third altogether, 10, 11 ducks there, so they're very close. So blue-winged teal, for the most part, were predominant on the coast. After that, it falls off pretty sharply. From 3.7 down to 1.6, which is pretty dismal. And that was all the way in other areas at Bear Island. Things got very slow there. But the Cape, I'm sorry, I missed it. So Cedar Island had 5 ducks per man, so that's one less than the limit. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. Top duck there was gadwall. So that might have been our top area last of the week. I missed that one. Again, with green-winged teal being right there in the second, and then your shelvers being right there in third. So the coast, old Santee Gun Club, what we call our basically the Murphy Island, Cedar Island, and the Cape, all there, Coastal Reserve, Santee Coastal Reserve, now we call it. Those areas all pretty much teal, your number one bird. You had some gadwall smattered through there, some shovelers. But those were the top areas all year long. I've talked about that all year. How Santa Coast Reserve, just the folks there, Aki and his folks, really done a really good job of bringing the management back there so that birds are there again. They were always a traditional area for wintering birds. Bear Island, about 10 years ago, flipped over, and they started really getting a lot of birds. It looks like the Cape has come back, and the Santa Coast Reserve is really doing a really good job. Now, the Bear Island's not. Mm-hmm. It's just birds flip up and down that coast. And Bear Island had succumbed to some birds doing what we like to call midnight roosting. They're out there roosting on the ponds and leaving in the morning, so that doesn't bode well for hunting during the day. You don't like birds to roost on your pond because that means they're eating at night and they're gone during the day when you can hunt them. So that situation befalls a lot of duck ponds and hit Bear Island pretty hard this year. But so again, Youth Day, our federal day this week, this Saturday and next Saturday, the 6th and the 13th. So that's what's going on in waterfowl world. Past that, we're looking for, you know, we talked about coyotes last time. You know, your coyotes, you know, basically now's a good time for folks to try to take coyotes off property using the night hunting program, registering that property and taking coyotes, armadillos, and hogs. Hogs and coyotes being a huge problem across the state and allowing the night hunting we've done for the last few years really enables landowners to take control of their property and control these feral species, so invasive species. So that's kind of what's going on. Again, small game. We talked about coon season still in. Coon hunting, you've got squirrel season still in for a short time, and you got quail season in right now as well. So those are the seasons going on. Past that, we're talking about fishing. And as cold as it is, fishing on inshore gets a little slow this time of year.
I would think.
A lot of times your fish will move offshore, deeper water where it's warmer. So your sheephead go off to the offshore wrecks this time of year. But there are some folks that are doing, you know, that can do well with your sea trout, speckled sea trout, and spot tail still here to there. Catch a warm day, get the fish out there on top of the water, and you can get, you know, have a good day. So just depends. Inland lakes, you know, we always talk about the fishing this time of year. Clark's Hill, Lake Thurman. You know, always this time of year, hybrid striped bass, you can still catch those. Crappie fishing is really coming on Lake Thurman, Lake Greenwood, Watery, all these lakes, even Lake Marion. Crappie this time of year in the cold weather, crappie do start to bite. You catch those on stumps and other areas, a structure that you can find on lakes. Typically, that's what you're looking at right now is crappie. Again, some hybrid striped bass as well on down rods. So it just depends on the cold weather. And if the water's dirty or not, we talk about dirty water. Some folks may not understand what that means. But these lake systems, as we have rain, which we've had a lot of in the last couple of weeks, and the rivers are dumping into these lakes. They dump a lot of mud sometimes because we get a lot of runoff. and that dirty water really slows fishing down sometimes and make it challenging to fish. So you kind of got to know what the water situation is like, how murky the water is, how clear it is, so you can know how, if fish are going to be really biting or not. And sometimes you don't know till you go.
How much are you guys this time of year, now that we've had a little cold spot, and who knows what's going to happen here if we're going to have any sort of wintry weather in our future, you know, because the Northeast and the Midwest been hit very hard, and those storms sometimes, you know, dip down into the South. So how much do you guys over at DNR watch the weather, pay attention to that kind of stuff, and prepare in particular for what winter might bring in terms of hazardous conditions?
So that's a good question. For us, for our officers, you know, we are kind of the arm of emergency management that is called out when it gets to wintry weather, because our vehicles, we have four-wheel drive vehicles, we've got winches, we've got ATVs, we've got the ability to go places when it's nasty. So our officers get called out a lot when we have wintry mixes, when the roads get shut down. Our officers are stationed out there helping highway patrol, basically run, you know, check the roads, keep the roads clear. Because, again, our vehicles, because of the four-wheel drive and the nature of the trucks we have and ATVs, we can get to these places and we can access the roads that sometimes are inaccessible for a patrol car, so to speak. So that's something that we do get heavily involved in winter, with winter storms. When there are winter storm warnings, our folks go into action. We've got what we call the ESF 13, the Emergency Management Division, where our law enforcement partners get together, SLED, probation, pardon, parole, and DNR, we all man that area. When it comes to natural disasters, which includes winter mixes, winter storms, mm-hmm. we respond to those areas and we prepare for road closures, things of that nature, or where we can do to help keep roads clear. Keep folks, you know, for us, a lot of times it's helping people on the side of the road that are stuck, they can't get out, getting those to a warm area, somewhere they can get something to drink, something to eat. So that's what our officers do in winter time when it gets to the wintry weather and roads get shut down.
Yeah,
so
people might not. I was going to say people might not realize that. They think DNR, they think all you're doing is being out in the woods. Yeah, being on the lakes, being on the ocean, being out in the woods. But you contribute. Your agents contribute. Your office contributes to things around the state in many different ways.
And this particular year with COVID and 2020 and even 2021 now, if you want to call it civil unrest, the different things around the State House, man, the State House, we are part of the arm that goes out there and stands with other law enforcement, state law enforcement. Again, Highway Patrol, Triple P, SLED, we go out there, the DPS, and our officers are standing around the State House with everybody else. Again, you know, protecting people's right to safely protest, but making sure that folks don't get out of hand. Our officers went into civil unrest. We had all the problems in different cities all across the state. Our officers were responding with SLED agents and everybody else. Again, protecting people's right to safely protest, not preventing protests, protecting the right to protest, but making sure people and the communities were safe when the protests were happening. And then with COVID again, when the boating restrictions were in, and I hope we don't see that again this year. Wow, how difficult that was with folks just wanting to get outside. You know, you get tired of being cooped up and always the mask wearing all that. And we were having to go out and tell people they couldn't stop on an island and just spend time with their family. That was difficult for officers. And those are the challenges, situations we get thrown into. We're not the ones that make the decisions. We're unfortunately the ones that have to enforce decisions, though. And mm-hmm. A lot of folks didn't understand that that past year. And again, our officers just enforcing what the governor is trying to do for public safety. And hope we don't go back to that this year. Hope, you know, COVID goes away, as we all do. Certainly, in the spring, if numbers continue to be high, I hope we don't see restrictions. But if we do, our guys will be there to make sure we try to keep people safe.
Phone number, if you want to comment on anything that Major Downer has had to say or you have a question for him, 888-898-2525, South Carolina Education Lottery. Lucky number into Sports Talk, and to S.E. Wild from DNR, 888-898-2525. So last time we were together, we touched on some of the youth events that are coming up, and I imagine that youth events that you guys are involved with remain very popular even during this COVID time, because I guess you can put these on and do it safely within the regulations that are put in place because of COVID?
Yeah, so we're trying to keep our programs going. Certainly, COVID gives you all kinds of challenges when you try to keep congregating groups, you know, from groups congregating too bad. So, and we've had some effect with our shooting sports. We did virtual tournaments this past December and January. December for skeet and January for trap, just wrapped that up. But we allowed shooters to go to their local range and shoot and record their scores and send them in. And that's how we placed people to come to a hopeful state event, which we had to postpone this month. It's supposed to have happened this weekend. Postponing that next weekend, actually, because just with the numbers and the way COVID is right now, you know, there are folks getting sick left and right. I've got a lot of friends of mine. Just got a call from another friend of mine today that is now positive for COVID. You know, I was quarantined 2 weeks ago. Horrible situation there. Mm-hmm. Your wife has to move out because you get quarantined. And if she's got a school she's trying to protect, it just changes your life. And people don't think about that probably, but COVID affects you. Even if you don't get COVID, if you get quarantined for work and you have to go home, your family gets affected by that. And everybody just kind of gets moved around so they can just keep working. But right now, we have had to postpone our state skeet and trap event. We're pushing that into March, hoping to be able to host that in March around the time we do our sporting clays event, trying to keep our youth programs going. Recently just had, you know, things out of our control. Our archery tournament we always have at the Sumter Civic Center. And the Civic Center is now going to be a vaccination site, so they had to kick us out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the ugly way, but they had to close. They can't host an event because they're having to be a COVID vaccination site. So COVID is changing so many aspects of what we do. You just got to be flexible and ready to move and change and do whatever we can do to keep our programs going. I hope to see us have fishing rodeos this year. Again, those are outdoor events. We canceled them last year because COVID numbers were so bad. You know, with the vaccines and things that are out there and folks being in the vaccination process as it continues to get expanded, we certainly hope to see an ability to hold a safe event outdoors, because the outdoors is where you should be able to go during something like this, where you can have fresh air and folks need it so bad. You know, last year we talked about that. We saw boating numbers go out the roof. Boat sales were out of this world this past year. Fishing license sales were up 15%. We haven't got the numbers in from hunting licenses, but certainly we saw an uptick in hunting license sales as well. People just wanted to get outside and get out of the house because they were tired of being cooped up. And I can certainly understand that.
Well,
being quarantined for a week about killed me.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what else? I mean, you're talking about that. Golf had a huge resurgence last year during COVID because it was the one sport, if you can play golf, it's the one sport you can go out and have the room and social distance and play the game normally. So anything in the outdoors was going to be, you know, the activity was going to increase because people just, you're right, they wanted to get outside and do something.
And that's right. Shooting sports, you know, are popular. We've talked about our ranges. We're still doing basically half capacity or ranges to allow folks to be able to social distance at positions. So unfortunately, we can't take but half the people in the line. So we got down at Twin Ponds, for instance, we got 14 positions. You can only shoot 7 because we're trying to keep people spaced out. Here in the Midlands at the Watery Range, again, half those positions are open on the pistol and rifle range, but we're still open for business Tuesday through Saturday. It's free to shoot 9 to 5 at that the rifle pistol range. And seen a lot of usage there, people taking advantage of going outside and shooting. And you don't have to wear a mask at shooting position, which we're making wear a mask so you get there. Once you get in shooting position, you take it off.
Mm-hmm.
But again, trying to get people to stay safe. Our sporting clays range has been open. Our trap and skeet fields have been open there. Again, that's $5 for 25 shots, for 25 clays, basically. And that's still open. You know, our skeet and trap range, basically, you're your own judge of how you want a social distance there. If you're in a small group, you know, you need to know your group. We're not going to tell you can't go out there with 3 people on the skeet range and shoot around the skeet together, or 5. It's just up to you. But again, shooting sports remains popular. Our ranges are open. We may be, you know, half capacity on those shooting lanes, but we are open for business, and it's free to shoot. So we encourage people to go out to our ranges in Pickens, Spartanburg, James O. Thomason, down at the Watery Range, and then down at Twin Pines, as well as Palachicola, which is open on the weekends down in the Estill area.
I got to believe wearing a mask while trying to shoot throws you off.
Well, you know, wearing a mask throws anybody off sometimes, particularly if you don't like something over your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not requiring somebody to wear a mask while they shoot. So that's why we don't require it. And we've got everybody spaced out, social distance enough, or physical distance enough so that they can shoot safely with the mask off. So that's one thing we're trying to accommodate folks so they can shoot comfortably. You know, when you have to wear one of those masks, again, I talk about this, when I had to wear it at the State House, and you look at our medical staff out there, nurses and doctors having to wear those N95 masks or KN95 masks, 8, 10, 12 hours. Holy cow, these things are really aggravating on your face.
Yeah.
And I look up to them because I had to wear mine for a day and about died. I mean, it just, you know, it just sucks to your face and you just feel claustrophobic. And you got to look up to folks who have to wear this every day.
I imagine when you were in quarantine, you were like a caged animal.
It was nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was absolutely nuts. Because if you're trying to do it right, you're trying not to go out in public, you're trying not, in case you get it, you don't want to spread it. And, you know, you get quarantined. For me, it was being next to somebody that tested positive the next day at a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, people just didn't know they were sick. And I hear of this story over and over from other folks. Same thing, people getting sick next to you, and then all of a sudden you're exposed and you have to quarantine and trying to protect your family and people around you. It's just, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's just tough.
Well, we have enjoyed it once again, as always. We look forward to being back with you in a couple of weeks. In about 30 seconds, what can we expect to talk about in a couple of weeks? What will you be looking forward to as we get into the latter part of February?
We're getting to the latter part of February. We'll talk about fishing a little bit more next time. Look at our local lakes up and down from the upstate to the Midlands, and just see what crappie and bass, striped bass hybrids. We'll see what's going on. Maybe some striper, maybe some white bass. Just see what the activity is. Try to give a good report on that.
Yeah, and hopefully the weather will be conducive for folks to get out and drop a line.
Sure.
As always, Major, we appreciate it. You take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Have a good evening. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Major Billy Downer. From DNR, with us here on Sports Talk, another edition of SC Wild in the books, and great stuff from the Major, as always. And get out and enjoy the outdoors if you can.